All right, let's go ahead and start. Where the hell is everyone? This is supposed to be a full class. Well, you're here. Hello, I'm Ty Hoffman. You are hopefully here for Bio 181. If not, you're in the wrong place. before we get into any science, I need to, this is always awkward the first day because you don't know me yet. But I want you to believe what I'm going to say to you this first day, especially because it could be that you've heard this from other instructors before. But this is not just boilerplate stuff I'm saying. This is actually true because I've taught this course a lot of times. I just want you to know what you're in for. But I want to tell you this in a way that doesn't discourage you. So don't mistake what I'm about to say for discouragement. But this is a truly demanding course. For the vast majority of you, if not for everyone, it will be the most demanding course you've taken so far, and maybe for a lot of you, the most demanding you'll ever take. Notice I keep saying demanding instead of difficult. It's difficult to pass the course, but that's not necessarily because the material is difficult. The reason it's difficult to pass the course is because it is so demanding of your time. All right? So it's not that the stuff you're about to learn in this course is incomprehensible. It's just that there is a hell of a lot of material. And so if you're too busy, which a lot of people are, especially nowadays, then you won't make it through. And I don't want that to happen, of course, but I don't say you might not make it through. I'm saying you won't make it through, not speaking to anyone in particular, because about half of the people don't make it through this course. And that's not because of me, by the way. That's regardless of which instructor you take. It is you have to have the time to put into this course. So if you have a job or a spouse or a child or anything like that, those things are important, of course, and I understand why they take a certain amount of time. If they take more time than will leave over an amount of time for this course, then something has to give, and it's usually this course. So that's the major reason why about 50% of the people that are here today, right now, will not be here at the end of the course, unfortunately. Still, though, I don't want you to be discouraged. It's a hell of a good class. This is a major's biology course. So what I'm assuming when you come in the door is that you like biology. And if you don't, then you should consider changing a major. You should not major in something you don't like. Do something that you enjoy. So the stuff that you're about to learn is really interesting. It's the kind of course that you'll be really glad you went through when you're done with it. But getting through it can be a real struggle. All right, so I just want you to believe me on this. You haven't taken the course. I have taught it many times. I know how it ends up every term. And so I'm not lying when I say about half will have to withdraw. I would like for there to be an exceptional class one time where no one withdraws. That has never come close to happening. Okay, well, oh, I should have asked whether anyone wants any light on. Want any more light on?
No.
All right. And also, don't feel like you need to raise your hand or wait until a pause occurs. Just interrupt me whenever you want to stop me. Not just when I'm talking about the course itself, but in lectures in general. Don't be afraid to interrupt me. I want to talk about the three websites that this course requires you to use. Does this one look familiar already? Is anyone willing to admit that they have not been here yet? Okay, thanks for admitting that. This is the so-called Hoffman site, my own site that's one of the three that you need to keep track of. Of course, you're already familiar with Canvas. Well, you probably are already familiar with Canvas, depending on how many courses you've taken. So has everyone been to the Canvas site? Mm-hmm. All right, and notice that the Canvas site points you here also. So Canvas is one of them. Canvas sucks in a lot of ways, but I have to use Canvas or some other LMS in order to comply with the law, basically. I need to something where you can get your grades privately. And so that's one of the major uses of Canvas. You'll also be submitting a couple things through Canvas. But you won't be using it probably as much as you would in other courses because of these other two websites. So the two that we've already mentioned are Canvas and the Hoffman site. And the Hoffman site, this is just your specific course page from the general site. Just to show you what I mean, the global site is this. You can bookmark that if you want, but your specific section is right here. So that's two. And the third website is the McGraw-Hill Connect site. And it's probable that most of you haven't used that yet. Has anyone actually registered for Connect yet? Okay, cool. This is nothing you have to buy, which is explained on the Hoffman site. So you've already paid for that, but you do need to go through the registration process. You need to properly register in my specific Connect course. And the only way to properly do that, don't go straight to the McGraw-Hill site on your own. Go to Canvas and use the McGraw-Hill link in the menu on the left. There's a menu on the left side of the page on the Canvas site, which you'll be using for the various places within Canvas, but there's also one called McGraw-Hill Connect. And click on that to begin with and follow the instructions to get registered for my specific course. All right? That usually goes pretty smoothly. It's a hell of a lot less problematic than, for instance, mastering. If you ever used mastering, that can be a headache. Anyway, that's the third website. And the Connect website has two major reasons that you use it. One is that it's the only way that you can do the Connect assignments, which you have to do, of course, in order to pass. So you're doing specific Connect assignments throughout the term according to the schedule at that site. That's the actual main reason. That's the only thing that is actually required for you to use the Connect site for. But the Connect site also gives you access to an e-textbook, electronic version of a textbook, which you can use if you'd like, of course. You are not required to do any readings in that. And that's because really the most important reason to use that e-textbook is to maximize your scores on the Connect homework. All of the Connect homework is open book. And all of that Connect homework questions are publisher questions from McGraw-Hill, which means they go hand in hand with that e-text. And if you don't know the answer, you can easily do a quick text search of the e-text to take you specifically to the place in the book that will give you the answer. And that's the way you should approach these because of something I'm about to talk about, which is maximization of points. You do not want to waste any points in this course, which means that you should try to get 100% on all of the comparatively easy points. Not all the points in this course are easy, but ones that you're allowed to look the answers up to are easy. as long as you give yourself enough time to go through that process. If you try to open up the Connect homework for the week or for the day, whatever the due date is, 10 minutes before it expires, then that's not going to give you time to look up any answers you're unsure of. And that's an unwise use of comparatively easy points. That will contribute to the probability of having to withdraw in this course. All right, so there are hard points, there are easy points. Don't lose any easy points, and you can make it through. But while we're on the subject of that e-text, I don't want you to think of the e-text as the best way to study for my examinations, which are written entirely by me. Now, feel free to use the e-text if you have time to cement ideas that aren't already cemented from my lectures. But don't start there as a way to study. The tests, the lecture examinations, of which there are five, are the most difficult points to get. And they're also the most valuable points. So the weighting of the tests is greater than the weighting of any other assignments. If the only assignments I gave were my five lecture exams, then almost no one would pass the course. So this is what I mean by a comparatively hard batch of points. For those, you want to maximize those points by taking my advice on how to study for them. Now, every student is different, of course, but what I'm trying to get across here is that the textbook should not be considered the primary source of information for doing well on my lecture examinations. The primary source of information is what I'm making right now, which is an audio lecture of what I'm telling you in class. So all of my lectures are recorded. Every bit of the information in my questions comes from what I say. Conversely, if I don't tell you something on a lecture, then it will not be part of one of my exams. I can promise you that. Okay? So all the answers are going to be in the recorded lectures. The textbook might discuss those things as well, but you should start by mastering the lecture recordings. And this takes a lot of time. All right? You sit through the live performance. That takes time on its own. But that's not enough. Come up here if you want. Anywhere you want. That's not nearly enough. You need to go through this stuff over and over, which means you'll need to repeatedly listen to the recordings in order to get to the point where you can explain the concepts out loud without looking at any notes. That's the way you should approach preparing yourself for my lecture exams. In other words, try to give mini lectures. And out loud is important. Don't just think it, because speaking it actually puts it into a different part of your brain compared to just thinking it, and compared to hearing it, and compared to writing it. All of those things help. But you're not going to be able to take a major concept from a unit at first. You're not going to be able to. And not look at any notes and explain it out loud from beginning to end. If you can't, which almost none of you will be able to right away, then that tells you you're not ready for the exam. Well, if you go to the e-textbook and read it and you say, oh, yeah, I understand this. You're looking at answers, basically, when you're reading a textbook. You falsely convince yourself that you're ready for an exam by understanding what you're reading. All right? You need to study what you've read and listened to the point where you can actually explain it, even though it doesn't have to be someone else you're explaining it to. You can be alone in the room, but explain it out loud without actually looking. That's going to take practice, so you can't expect to be able to do that the night before the test. And If you think that this is going to be a crammable course, almost certainly, unless you are truly exceptional, almost certainly this will be a disappointing experience. Okay? So it's never going to be easier than it is right now. Things are going to get busy right away. And the first of the five exams, which will probably disappoint most people score-wise, is the easiest one. The scores go down from there. So don't be disappointed by that first exam. Stay up to date. Don't try to cram. Approach this stuff a little bit every night. Now, I make recordings every time I teach, but there are also, you might even have noticed this already, some of you, there are also on this online lectures and slideshows link, archived lectures, which are actually the more important ones to use for most of you, I think. You can always listen to what I tell you exactly. I don't say things the same way every time I teach. But even though these are from a different term, it's the same material, and these ones labeled as SSS, synchronized slideshows, are useful because it's the slideshow and my voice synchronized. You can, if you want to skip ahead, it will already be in place. You don't have to try to match up the PowerPoint version and the audio-only version, which you can do if you want. You don't have to do that if you use the movies, basically. Okay, so these should be your primary source of doing well on the hardest part of the course, which is my five lecture exams. All right, now that's three websites. While I'm still on this Hoffman site, let me give you your first bit of informal homework. I shouldn't say informal because some of you might misinterpret that as meaning optional. This is not optional, what I'm about to tell you. It's just not worth any points. All right? So sometime before midnight tonight, I want you to go to two of the three sites. Ideally, you go to Connect and get registered as well, but do that within a couple days. But by tonight, everyone should visit this specific site, which is your class's site. Visit every one of these main menu links to see what is there, because this is going to be the easiest day of the term for you, even if this is your only class. Probably many of you have other courses as well. And those instructors probably think those courses are important too. And they, of course they are. What I'm trying to say is that you're going to get busy immediately, and it's best if you know where everything is and what it is and to what degree you think it might help you as whatever kind of student you are early on. So do that today. Click on all of these on the Hoffman site and also on the vertical menu that's on Canvas. Find out where everything is. And then remember where things are throughout the term. Use things throughout the term. You have a hell of a lot of tools, but the trick is to efficiently manage your time. Because, unfortunately, long gone are the days, like it was for me, when fresh out of high school, a person's job was to be a student. That's all they had to do. We're not doing that anymore. People are busy. And that's why there is such high attrition, such high withdrawal. Okay, but let's take a look at the syllabus, which is on the Hoffman site. I am not going to print this out for you, and I don't demand that you print it out either, but I do demand that you read it. I can tell every term that people don't read the syllabus because they repeatedly ask me questions that are answered on the syllabus. I'm not saying that because it pisses me off if you don't read it. I'm just saying it can hurt you by not knowing the things that are there. A lot of these things are there to help you. Including, by the way, let me skip all the way to the bottom. Including a schedule of the lectures, examinations, and the laboratory activities. So don't, and this is, that's the main reason I know people don't read the syllabus, because they say, well, do we have class on this date or whatever? Well, it's been, the schedule's been there since the beginning, so use it. Anyway, read the whole thing. I'm not going to read this to you. You can read it, but I do want to hit a couple things that most people are interested in on the first day. We talked about course websites. Now, I won't even bother saying that right now. We talked about supporting materials. Notice the glaring red here for rules consent form. I'm glad that a couple of you have already done this, but you should. This will be, take care of itself if you obey me by doing what I've already told you to do by midnight tonight. One of the links on the Hoffman site is a rules consent form link. You can't get any points in this course until you do that. So do it tonight. Get it out of the way. Anyway, scoring, that's what most people care about. These are the various categories of things you'll get actual scores for. But notice that I have two columns next to each category, with attendance and without attendance. And that's because I calculate your score every time you do something. I calculate your score two different ways. One with attendance counting and one without attendance counting. And that's because giving you points simply for being here, when actually you're required to be here, you kind of promise that you're going to be here by registering for the course. And so some instructors would say, why would I give students points just for being here? Which is kind of a good argument in one way. It's a good argument because just being here doesn't demonstrate that you know a damn thing about biology, right? You're getting points for not demonstrating any knowledge. But the reason I say that's okay with me, I mean, it's not an exorbitant amount of points, but it's, points are going to be precious. The reason I'm okay with it is because I think it's valuable to be here for the live performance, even though you can listen to all this at home, since I have it all recorded and recorded on the day that everyone else is there but you. And that's because you can ask me questions and I can ask you questions. When I teach, I will ask questions to the class in general, you'll notice. And I don't just do this as a nervous habit. I actually expect you to try to answer these questions, which no one should be afraid to do, by the way. It always amazes me that people are afraid to answer questions when an instructor asks. I don't know why. I've thought that maybe it's because they don't want to be wrong. And if they're not sure, that you know, they don't, it might be embarrassing to be wrong. But that, the reason that amazes me is that if you knew all of this stuff, why the hell would you be taking the class? You should be teaching it instead. So don't be afraid to get an answer wrong. I would much rather you do that than just sit there and be afraid to answer at all. But anyway, all of that is important for actually being here. And that's why I think it's okay to give you some points for that. But you can also make an argument on the other side, and you might have been already doing this calculation in your head, saying, well, if he's going to record everything, I don't actually have to be here. I can recreate that experience at home and have my week more open. Now, you can't do that for lab, of course. If you miss lab, you're not going to make it through the course. But you're not going to get docked any points for not being in lecture. And what I think is, yeah, if you are actually the kind of student who could get an A simply by sitting at home and listening to my recordings, that's fine. That's great. You've demonstrated you've learned it. So why should I penalize you for not coming? That's why I calculate it both ways, with attendance and without attendance. But if it's calculated with attendance, then attendance is one of the categories of points, and therefore all the other ones, the assignments themselves, will be worth a little bit less, right, to add up to 100%. Without attendance, there is no attendance category, so all of the individual assignments are worth a little bit more, and therefore can either hurt or harm your score more. Well, this is all behind the scenes. My spreadsheet calculates it both ways. You don't have to worry about it. The score that you see as your total current score on Canvas will automatically be the higher of the two. So, you know, if you do not attend one day, it's going to affect your attendance score, but it's not necessarily the end of the world. There are no easier points, though, than attendance points. So if you do believe me, as I say you should, about how precious points will be, then I suggest you opt for maximizing your attendance points and getting 100% on those for the course, which adds up, I think, to an extra 1%, which can make the difference between getting through the course and not. Now, speaking of witches, this is the only day that this attendance sheet will leave the desk. That's one exception. From now on, it'll be up here. You just come in and sign in. This is also the only day when you'll be allowed to sign in after 11:30. And I should have mentioned when I first started that this, you should notice that this clock is wrong. Go by real time, which this is. If you go by this clock, you're going to be here. You're going to be disqualified from signing this. And now I'm not a hard ass on a lot of things, but I'm going to be for attendance points because they're free points. That means come in 1 second after 11:30, you're not allowed to sign in, and you should stay still, but you're not going to get any attendance points for that day. Everyone understand that? Okay, cool. So get it. It'll eventually become habit, but next time when you come in, somehow remind yourself that before you even sit down, come straight up to the desk and sign in so that you don't forget to do that before you become ineligible. All right? Anyway, I'm going to pass it around today. Just legibly print your name. And no one is on the wait list here, right? Everyone is fully registered. Okay, cool. Let's look at the actual value of these. I told you about the lecture exams. Those are the beefiest and the hardest sources of points. There's five of them, and they are all of equal size. The fifth, although it is by definition the final, which just simply means the last test, is not comprehensive. The fifth one, which will take during finals week, is simply test number 5, unit 5 material only. It's not the entire term's worth of stuff. Each of the 5 lecture exams will be exactly 50 questions, each of which, or all of which, will be multiple choice questions only. And all of them will be... Well, no, I can't promise that. They'll all be multiple choice questions. All right. Now, you might be thinking that is cool because I can at least guess for multiple choice. That's true. But that doesn't mean that a multiple choice question is necessarily easy. I write them very carefully. I'm very careful about language. Well, I'll talk about the tests more specifically when we get to them, but they're all equally weighted, and they add up to 45% of your grade, your final grade, which obviously that is not a chunk you can blow off. Typically, the means for tests are somewhere in the 50%. The first one, which is the easiest one, as I said, usually it's about 58%. Varies from term to term, but that's around the global average. Then they go down, though, for the next two. Then they kind of go up, but I think the reason that they go back up is that by then, a lot of people have withdrawn, and the people who withdrawn are the ones who did the poorest on the test, which is why they had to withdraw, so you're left with a higher scoring group of people at the end. Well, I'm telling you these low scores because I want you to realize that's going to happen. You might not be used to getting tests in the 50%. And, you know, I get my share of 100% every now and then. I'm just saying the class mean is 58% or so. Don't be startled by that. That happens every term. But since these are not the only things that you do, the tests, you can make up for those comparatively lower scores by maximizing the easier stuff. Okay, now a lot of these things, the lecture exams are the only sources of points in this room. All right? Other than attendance. You come in, you get your attendance points by signing in, you listen to me, and then on test days you take a test. That's it for this room. But that's a big chunk of your grade. Everything else is either Connect or laboratory-based. All right? The Connect homework is down here. There's 12 of them, which individual due dates that are already posted. They add up to 10% of your total. So that's also a chunk that matters, right? 10% is a lot, especially when if you can put the time into researching your answers to make sure you have the right one in these open book questions, can go a hell of a long way toward undoing the damage that the lecture exams have. All right, so do that. Make sure you plan your time accordingly to not be late. Now the Connect assignments can be late, but you're penalized for that. That's a good example of wasting easy points. The rest of these, though, are laboratory things. So I'm going to talk about these more specifically a little bit later today when we are down in the laboratory, which is, you enter, by the way, downstairs, what is it, 103? What the syllabus says so. But anyway, you enter from the south side of the building. Just follow people who look like they know what they're doing. Has everyone signed? Okay, so I'll talk more about those when we're downstairs. What else do people care about the first day? Oh, well, the grading scale is a straight scale, so to speak. It's not a curve, in other words, but notice that I've lowered the floors. So I think everyone else, or almost everyone else, all the other instructors use 90, 80, 70, 60, which you're probably accustomed to. I give a little bit more information than most instructors, and I think it's a little bit harder to score well on my exams, and therefore the final scores end up being a little lower in my courses, so I make it a little bit mathematically easier to get an A, B, C, and D. 86 for an A, 76 for a B, 66 for a C. Just do not make the mistake of saying, right on, I can get a 66, no problem. Now shoot for the A, first of all, but eventually many of you will be hoping for the C until it becomes mathematically impossible, and then some of you will be withdrawing, unfortunately. But don't make the mistake of thinking 66 is easy. If you haven't learned it already in your academic career, you will, by taking this course, learn that not all courses are equal. An A in one course does not equal an A in another course as far as effort is concerned. All right? So if you're accustomed to getting A's, that's great, But it's also largely meaningless when you come in here, because there's plenty of straight-A students who struggle with this course. Okay. All right. Was that discouraging? I'm sure it sounds discouraging, but I don't want to lie to you. I want you to know right away what you're in for, so that you can get started right away at trying to prevent all the things that people fall into that eventually makes it mathematically impossible to pass. Anything that I didn't cover on the syllabus that you care about at this point?
For the Connect assignments?
Yeah.
Do you have multiple attempts at it, or is it just one shot to do the assignment?
You do have multiple attempts. I can't remember whether I set it up as unlimited or two or three. It'll say, though, in the instructions.
Yeah.
And however many there are, I think it might be either two or three. However many there are, though, I'm pretty sure I have it set up so that the only what counts is the highest, not the average.
Yeah.
But because it's set up that way, you won't see the answers until after the due date.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to truly maximize your scores, go ahead and take it as many times as you're allowed to, even if you're kind of sure. Well, it'll tell you if you're 100%, I think, because then you can quit. But if you don't get 100%, you're not going to know which ones are right or wrong right away, because that would be too easy, right? You wouldn't learn that way. Continue to take them if you have time until you run out of attempts. But relatedly, if you don't think that the answers are never going to show, they will. They just will show after the due date. You can go back and look. But don't use those questions either as a way to study for my exams. Connect, just think of that as a completely separate batch of comparatively easy points that's there to help you. But don't think of it as a way to prepare for my lecture exams. My lecture exams are based entirely on my lectures, which is why I keep calling them lecture exams. All right? Anything else? Well, let's then proceed to biology.